Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
In Ephesians chapter 4, I'll read verses 1 through 3 first. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He's saying you need to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit, not hope that it happens, not hope it works out. You need to work to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then I'll jump to verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's to build up the body. It's to edify and lift up and strengthen and grow the body, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. The body needs to build itself, edify itself in love, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I want to talk for a few minutes today about greener grass. Let's pray one more time together. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, and I pray that, Lord, this word that you've laid on my heart today, God, that you would just help me to say it how you want me to say it, or just let me sound like you when I preach today. Lord, help our minds and our hearts, Lord, to receive your word and to be made better by it. And Lord, bring us into the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Help us, Lord, to be edified, and let your love just reign in this place today, God. Put us in one mind and one accord in Jesus' name. Let's give him thanks one more time and clap our hands as we're seated today in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to say first, before I get into this, the pastor last week in the 10 o'clock, he taught such a wonderful, wonderful lesson, message, brought a word to us that it, and I think there were other people that felt the same way, but for me, it, you know, you hear preaching, you hear messages, and we should always be changed by the Word of God. We should always be, you know, we should get something out of it. But not every single time you hear somebody preach, it's not going to just profoundly, unexpectedly maybe sneak up on you and just change your life and convict you in a way you weren't expecting. That's not going to happen every single time. You can be encouraged and changed and made better, but sometimes, man, you'll hear a word and it just, like, that was me last Sunday. It was just, it's 10 o'clock, I'm ready to hear the word of the Lord. I'm ready to be, you know, to receive something that'll help me. But, man, I think for half the message, I just cried. He talked about letting brotherly love continue. And it was something I texted in the department head message, and I said, this is something that our whole church needs to get, because if we don't get this, then nothing we do is going to matter. Nothing we do is going to make a difference. It's man, it was something that deeply convicted me. And I was honest, and I said in that message, I said, sometimes, I said, I've been guilty of it. You can get burnt out on people being people. You can get burnt out on people, you know, just being people. And I'm sure people have felt that way about me too sometimes, I'm sure. But it deeply convicted me, and I felt like the Lord just kind of is leading us in that same direction today. And I love my church. I love the people in this church. I think that everybody that's here is here for a reason and a purpose. And Paul's talking here about being fitly joined together. He's talking about how the Lord has given us, you know, different roles, different things that we do. That, you know, we're not all the same. I heard Brother Doug Smith, he said, he didn't even say it while he was preaching or anything. He said it a few weeks ago. We were out to eat, and he was talking about something. And he said, you know, you don't have to be twins to be brothers. You don't have to be twins to be brothers. And you know, we have differences. We have things the way God made us, but we still need to be fitly joined together. We need to be fitly joined together. Now, I want to say first, healthy churches. A healthy church body does not happen by accident. A church has got to be built. A church has got to be built, brick by brick. And we've all heard the saying, the grass is always greener on the other side. We think that social media has got people thinking that man, everybody else's life is better than mine. I say this every time I mention social media, but you got to remember that social media is fake. Social media is not real. You might see glimpses of real things that are happening, but every photo is posed for. It's probably edited. The lighting is made sure. People, influencers, things like that. They stage these videos with their kids watching, you know, whatever they're watching, doing whatever they're doing. Social media is fake. It's meant to be a highlight reel. You don't look at social media and think, man, everybody else is you know, their life is so much better. They're showing you a curated vision of their life that they've got. And I'm not saying people aren't blessed and everybody's miserable. I'm just saying, you can't look at social media. You can't look at other people's life. You see what people allow you to see. It's the same way with, because this mindset, it creeps into the church. It's the same way with churches. You got to understand, and there's nothing wrong with it. You're not going to post a video for online evangelism, like, hey, the sound system went out today. Let's post a clip of that. Let's post a clip of somebody accidentally saying a cuss word while they were preaching today, and they didn't mean to. They got tongue-tied. Let's do something that's going to put us on Church Milk or Church of Laugh or something. No, nobody wants that stuff. You want the stuff that's like, we want people that want to visit our church to see this. We want people to look and see. Not, you don't want to be fake, but you want people to see the good stuff, the highlight reel. You want to see people shaking hands and hugging, people praising. And you don't want to see, you know, so-and-so came in today and you know, we cast seven devils out of them. You don't record that stuff. Like, you know, it's the highlight reels. But man, people think the grass is always greener on the other side. And that mindset, it can get into the church, as I said. And people think maybe another church has better preaching. Maybe another church has, you know, more relatable and more or friendlier people. Maybe another church has more opportunities for me. Maybe another church has less drama going on or has less people that have all these issues. But the truth is that every church has imperfections. It's true. And I understand that our church alone, our local assembly, is not the church as a whole. I understand we're part of a much bigger body, but every local assembly, every local church has imperfections because it has broken people, it has imperfect people, it has troubled people, it has people that's got stuff going on. Every church has personalities that don't always mesh, that don't always go together. Every single person in the church is not going to be each other's absolute closest best friend. You're not going to know every single deep dark secret about every person. It's just, it's people. It's full of people. It's full of people. And so you have to remember that. You have to, and this is not I hope that this comes across the right way, and I think it will here in a minute. I'm not bashing our church saying, listen, we just got to get used to the fact that we're just messed up. That's not what I'm saying. But because every church is full of imperfect people who are still becoming like Christ, all of us are striving to be more like Jesus. All of us should be striving more and more to understand His Word better, to be more like, to apply the principles in His Word to our life, to be like Jesus, to be the way He wants us to be. We are becoming like Christ. The question isn't whether you'll ever find a perfect church, because there are some people, man, they're out there and they're looking for a perfect church. Another thing, I might reference social media a few times today. Something that gets on my nerves so bad on social media is influencers, and they're these families that they document their journey of finding a church. They're going around, they're trying different churches. That gets on my nerves so bad. It really does, because they just go in and they're nitpicking everything that it's like, we're going to try a Baptist church today. We didn't like it because they didn't move. And we're going to visit a Pentecostal church today. We didn't like it because all that dancing and hollering and stuff is not biblical. And as you know, man, we've got to get away from these social media theologians. We got to stop taking advice from influencers that are telling, man, that stuff gets on my nerves. Anyway, I'm not going to stay on that. But people they go around, they're looking for a perfect church. They're looking, man, for a church that caters to every single little thing on their list. And if it ain't got it, man, they're going to go on Reddit. They're going to go online and blast this church. And so-and-so, they said this. And I can tell my discernment, let me know, this pastor, he listens, to Foreigner. I know he does in his spare time. And I could tell, it's just every little thing, man. But they're looking for perfect people, perfect church, perfect everything that's going to serve them. You're not going to find that place. You're not going to find it. The question is not if you'll find a perfect church, but the question is, what kind of church are you helping to build? What kind of church, what kind of culture are you helping to cultivate? What are you doing to build your church? The grass isn't greener somewhere else. The grass is greener where you water it. The grass is greener where faithful people tend to it and water it and take care of it. And that's where the grass is greener. And I don't want to be one of those people, and none of us should be one of those people that's always constantly searching for greener grass. Man, water the grass that the Lord planted your feet in. Water the grass and take care. And this is, I'm preaching to all of us today. I'm talking to all of us today. And this is just what the Lord laid on my heart. God didn't call us just to attend church. I think that we should be at church every chance we get. That's just, I don't seem old enough, to say, well, back in the olden days, man, people lived for camp meeting. They lived for revival. But I am old enough to remember that, because I slept up under the pews when revival was going on like 24 hours a day. And it was, our dad, he evangelized for years before we pastored. I was, man, church was like all the time. It was just church. And I have a love for church, but I think that we all should have a love to attend the house of God. I think that we should not dread coming to the house of God. I think that we should not also not just have the mindset that I just attend church. He called us to build a church. He called the body to edify itself, to build up itself. Paul says that Christ gave gifts to the church for the edifying of the body of Christ. He gave the gifts to us for us to use to build us together. Just like the natural body has the ability to heal itself, God put things in our bodies that we can recover from sickness, or a wound can close up and heal. And just like that, so does the body of Christ have the ability to build up itself, to heal itself, to grow. You know, I know that God has to intervene. We can't do any of it without God, but God gave us the ability to build the church, to edify the body. And I think that's what we should our mindset should be when we come to church. I think that it should be, you know, how can I, you know, I know that we don't want to get burnt out, and you don't want your mindset to be so on like, okay, I'm taking offering today, you know, and so you just got anxiety about, I need to stand here, I need to hold the offering basket, I need to make sure I don't mess this up. I know that seems kind of silly, but you know, we shouldn't be so consumed with, all right, this is my role at church today, that you can't even get anything out of service. But man, there are so many ways that we serve our church. There are so many ways that we grow our church. There are so many ways, and it's not just what we do within the confines of a service schedule. He said, for the edifying of the body of Christ, the body builds itself. The pastor cannot build the church by himself. He can't build the church by a ministry team, a department can't build the church by itself. Every member contributes something to the body of Christ. Every encouraging word, every prayer, every handshake, every act of kindness, every conversation with a new convert, a new believer, every visit to somebody who's struggling or somebody that's sick, every time somebody chooses they choose forgiveness over being offended and being bitter, they're watering the church. They're watering the grass. A healthy church isn't the result of one gifted preacher or one gifted musician or one gifted person. It's the result of many faithful waterers. It's the result of many people that say, this is the church that God planted me in. I want to grow it. I want to help cultivate this culture that the Lord wants us to have. I want to water this grass. I want to do what I can do to add and to be a part of and to edify the body that I'm a part of. I hope this is coming across the right way today. But what I'm trying to get us to understand is that there are so many ways to build this church. And every single person has a watering can. Every single person has got a way that you have to, I know there's the balance. We talk about outreach and we talk about inreach. And I think you have to have a balance. I think that you can't, you know, I understand that, man, we have a commission to reach the lost. I understand that we have a commission to go out, to preach the gospel to every creature. I think every week we should be inviting people to church. I think every week we should try and be talking to somebody about the Lord, giving a Bible study, showing the love of God to someone, trying to get them here. You know, we want them to be in church. You got to have outreach. I thank God for the revival and the burden for outreach that is stirring up in our church, especially right now in this moment. But you have to have that balance, because you can't be reaching out so much that you forget to reach in. You can't. We've got to remember that there is a body that's already here. There's a church family that's already here. And God help us not to, and Pastor even talked about it the other week, God help us not to forget about each other. Well, I don't want to be so focused on what God's got coming. And man, the revival is coming and things got, oh, the promises of God and God's going to do this, God's going to do this. I believe all that, but I don't want to be so focused on that that I forget I have a brother and a sister. I have a church family that I see every week. What am I doing? How is that iron sharpening iron? How are we helping each other? How am I being of service to my church family that I have? I don't want people to slip through the cracks while you're trying to reach new people and it just be an endless cycle of people coming in and then being forgotten. It shouldn't be that way. The church needs to edify itself. The church needs to build itself. You think about something as simple as like a family dinner. You know, you got some kind of special family dinner. Well, most of the time, you go to the family dinner, you think about the food. Who's on the grill? Oh, so-and-so is cooking? I'm not going. You know, you just sometimes know what to avoid. No, but, you think about who's cooking. What are we eating? Who's preparing the food? And I really don't have, man, we have Thanksgiving dinner and Christmas dinners and stuff at the church. Man, I love everybody's stuff. I really do. I never have anything that I'm like, oh, man, I'm not getting none of that stuff. Man, I hurt myself every dinner because I'm like, man, so-and-so, Sabrina's got her mac and cheese coming, man, let's go. I'm excited, you know, but you're thinking about who's cooking. But if we're thinking about who's setting the table, who's setting out the chairs, who's cleaning and preparing, who's washing dishes, who's filling glasses, who swept the floor after it was done, who cleaned everything up, who got the food out of the carpet that the kids stomped into it, what about all the details? Man, if you don't have everything working together, it's not going to be very great. And that's just a simple example, but man, we can't just think, you know, and I'm a little biased, but I think we have a great pastor. I think we have a great first lady. I think we got great leadership. I'm a little biased, but I think we do. But man, we can't just think, man, we've got a great pastor, so everything will just fall in line. We've got to work together to build the church. Man, we've got, and you know what that is? It's not taking care. It's not just worrying about sound. It's not just worrying about security. It's not just worrying about what's on our social media. It's not just worrying about lights. It's not just worrying about what equipment do we have. It's worrying about how can I take care of my brother and my sister. Man, I don't care if we have the best equipment. I don't care how everything looks. If none of that matters, if the spiritual health of the body is not good, man, I'll go to acoustic guitar and kumbaya and we'll be good with that as long as I know that my brother and my sister are okay. I want to build the body because it's made up of people. It's made up of people. We need to worry about the people. We need to check on each other. We need to pray for one another. I can't stress it enough. We got to let brotherly love continue. Unity doesn't happen by accident. It has to be watered. It has to be intentional. Paul said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You got to endeavor. You got to work at it. Endeavoring, it means we're working at it. We're intentional about it. Unity is work. It has to be watered. It has to be watered, and I'm driving a lot of things. I know I'm kind of repeating a lot of things, but I'm trying to help us today. I'm going to send the podcast to people that are not in this room today, and I'm not hating on anybody. I'm just saying I think everybody, we need to all understand this today. I think we all need to get a grasp on this today. That man, you don't have to be twins to be brothers. You don't have to be twins to be sisters. People are people, but man, I love my people. I love my church. I think everybody should feel that way about their church. And I think that when we stop looking for perfection and we stop looking for everything's got to be just bump, bump, bump. It's got to be exactly how it's going to cater to me. I want service to cater to me. I want the song to be the songs that I like. I want the temperature to be the temperature that I'm comfortable in. I want everything. I want the message to be something that makes me feel good. I want the man, church, you'll get a lot more out of church when you stop trying to get so much out of church. If that makes sense. If you'll stop going thinking, how can everybody at church cater to me today, and go and think, how can I improve the atmosphere? How can I minister to somebody? How can I go in and lead and worship and praise? And how can I go in today and improve the atmosphere at church today? But then you'll be really open to receive what God wants to do for you. But you got to endeavor. You got to water it. You got to water unity. You water unity when you assume the best instead of the worst in people. When you refuse to repeat hurtful conversations. When we learn to apologize quickly to each other. We got to stop holding on to stuff. Got to stop holding on to grudges. Got to stop holding. And we, man, a lot of times we say, I forgive. I've forgiven them, but we really hadn't, because you still treat them like trash. We got to learn to apologize quickly. I hope the trumpet don't sound while I've got my dumb little grudge that I'm hanging on to. I want to love my brother and my sister. We got to learn to get over that stuff. We water unity when we forgive before bitterness takes root. We water unity when we celebrate others' successes. Not when jealousy and envy creep in, but when we celebrate when people are elevated, when God blesses them, when God helps them and does great things in their life. You water unity when you pray for people instead of criticizing people. You water unity when you protect each other's reputation, when you protect each other's name, when you cover each other's sins. I don't mean cover in a way that is unethical. I mean love covers a multitude of sins is what I mean. Unity isn't maintained by agreement on everything. I've said this before, that the Bible says, let there be no divisions among us. It doesn't say let there be no differences among us. It says no divisions, because difference doesn't have to divide. We're unique. God made us that way. But man, the things that unify us, the ways that we are the same, goes so much further than the ways that we're different. And it's maintained by mutual love. It's maintained. Every church member is either watering unity, or we're allowing weeds to grow. We're allowing the grass to die. We need to water. We need to cultivate. We need to endeavor. Time I got. You think about a crack in a foundation. It only gets larger if it's ignored. I mean, the longer, we probably all have them in our driveways. It starts as just a little bitty place, and it just gets bigger and bigger, and then you start seeing weeds and stuff coming through it, and that's, you know, really, it gets to the point where it's a lot bigger job than it would be if we repair something early on. I don't ever think about that until I start seeing, oh, there's a tree growing out of that crack in the driveway now. But you know, it doesn't repair itself. If it's ignored, it gets larger, it gets worse. Relationships work the same way. Our relationship with our brothers and our sisters works the same way. The small misunderstandings. And let me say something about misunderstandings. Most of the time, it's a misunderstanding. And if we would learn to communicate, if we would learn to clearly communicate instead of assume, you know, we joke about it in marriage, you know, saying what, you know, I'm not a mind reader. You got to tell me. When we make jokes like that, sometimes it's a serious conversation. I can't read your mind, you know, and that's not me saying it to Duke. That's Duke saying it to me. And honestly, that's the truth, because sometimes I'm like, I thought I said that. It's like, no, you never said that. And I'm like, well, I thought it. You know, we can't just assume that people know how we're feeling. We can't, man, we need to learn that misunderstandings are most often the cause of the problem. It's just that we don't understand where each other's coming from. If we would communicate, man, misunderstandings wouldn't grow to become divisions that we regret later. Misunderstandings wouldn't tear people apart, wouldn't tear relationships apart, wouldn't tear churches apart if we communicate. But you got to endeavor. You got to water unity. Some of the greatest ministries in the church, some of the greatest roles in the church, some of the greatest things you can do in the church, they don't have a title. They don't have, I really don't like when I hear a preacher and he's talking about, you know, God can do something in your life. Man, God has got preachers and musicians in here, and they just keep going. It's like, okay, I'm thank God for preachers and musicians, but what about prayer warriors? What about altar workers? What about faithful saints that are encouragers, like Barnabas, to be a son of encouragement, to be a son of consolation, to be somebody that people can lean on? What about a faithful servant that works in places that nobody sees? And man, we've got to get out of that mindset that I'm not great if I don't have platform ministry. I'm not great if nobody can see me. I'm not great if I'm doing this and this. Not everybody's going to preach behind a pulpit. Not everybody's going to sing. Not everybody's going to teach a class. But, man, you can be an encourager. You can be a prayer warrior. Man, you can welcome. You can pray. You can notice the lonely. You can visit the sick. You can reach out to people who's been missing. Man, that's what it takes to grow a church. Everybody can strengthen somebody's faith. Everybody can be iron that sharpens iron. Imagine what our churches would look like if every member decided, I'm going to make somebody stronger before I leave here today. I'm going to encourage somebody before I leave here today. I'm going to pray with somebody that needs it today. Some people leave church, they're asking, what did I get out of church today? But imagine if we started asking, who did I strengthen today? How did I minister to somebody today? How did I help somebody today? That's water in the grass. Stop looking for better people in the church. Man, people do that. Well, I don't like the people at church. Well, it's because you don't connect with them. Because you're out the door 5 seconds into altar call. It's because there's no connection. It's because there's not even, nobody's endeavoring. You're not endeavoring to keep that connection. You might find that you've got more in common than you think. You might find that you like the people you sit next to. You might find out their last name if you talk to them. You might, you know, but people do that, and people pray, God send us people. I've heard people talk. I've heard other pastors, other leaders talk about that. God, I need you to send me people. And sometimes, yes, like, Lord, we need somebody for this specific thing. Lord, if you want to, send us somebody that's gifted in this, that can do this. Lord, we need it. So, you know, send us people. But it should never be, God, send us better people. I don't like these. Man. And that's what some people do. They're looking for churches that, I'm looking for churches with better people. But start loving the ones that God put in your life. Start connecting with the ones that God put in your life. Start growing a connection and a relationship with the people that God put you in the pew next to. That's where many churches struggle. We love the idea of Christian godly fellowship until fellowship involves difficult people. But all of us are going to be difficult sometimes. And we got to remember that Jesus built his first church with people who argued over greatness, who misunderstood him, who failed him, who denied him, who questioned him, who I'm sure got on his nerves. I'm sure those guys, sometimes he was like, have you been with me all this time? Have you been with me all this time? Do I need to reprimand you guys again for this? You know, it's probably mostly Peter, honestly, but you know, Peter, he had the keys. Skeeter had the peas, as my great-granddad said one time preaching. Yet he stayed with them. He didn't say, I got to get me 12 new guys. These guys stink. These guys they bicker with each other. They argue about stuff. Some of them still don't even understand what I'm saying. Matthew's not getting this at all. He taught them. He taught them. He corrected them, but he loved them. And eventually those imperfect people that he called and said, hey, I'm going to make you fishers of men, those guys turned the world upside down. They built the church. And sometimes we pray, God, put better people in my life. And God's saying, I put the people that I want in your life. I put them there. I sent those people. I sent you to help the people then in your life. And I sent them to help you. Why don't you connect with the people that I put in your life? Why don't you love the people that I put in your life? Why don't you love and grow with the people that you sit next to every Tuesday and Wednesday and Sunday and revivals? Why don't you connect with those people? Why don't you grow your relationship with the church that I put you in? Why don't you water the grass right here where you're at? Endeavor to keep that unity. I'm almost done. I know I'm fixed to be out of time. A gardener never complains because seeds don't immediately become flowers or whatever they're growing. A gardener will understand that growth takes time. And so it is with discipleship. So it is with trust, with friendship, with a church family. It takes time. You build. You build those relationships. You build that connection. You build the unity that we're supposed to have. You build it. And so we need to remember that when we're watering. We need to remember we're watering the roots, not just the branches. If all we focus on is attendance, numbers, appearance, how do we look to people on social media, what's other churches, we need to make sure that we look like we're keeping up with everybody. We need to make sure, the latest thing, we've got it, and we're doing this and this and this. If all we're focusing on is that, then we've got leaves without roots. The roots of a healthy church are things that you can not always see. It's not the things that you see on social media. It's not the things that people, a first-time visitor, sees right away. But they should feel it. Those healthy roots are prayer meetings. It's shared burdens. It's hospital visits. It's conversations after service. It's communion and fellowship, bread breaking, meals together, serving without recognition, checking on somebody who's missed church, carrying one another's burdens, fitly joined together. That phrase, it paints a picture of something connected so well that every part strengthens every other part. Strong roots will produce things that last, not just superficial things. You can stand with me today. I'm going to wrap up here in just a minute. I want us, though, to imagine. And again, I hope we understand today that this is not me bashing us and beating up on us. We need to remember this as we're trying to grow a church. That you don't grow a church. Some people, they do it. And it can only last for so long. They draw people with the best music, the best lights, the best stage, the best programs, the best, they draw them with all these things that in their place are important and should be used for the glory of God, but they draw them with things that, hey, look what we've got. That can only last so long. What we need to focus on as a church family is church family. We need to endeavor. We need to stop thinking the grass is greener somewhere else and cultivate and water and grow what God has given us. And He's given us each other. we should grow together. Imagine what it would be like if it became the culture. You know what culture is? It's what you do and say over and over and over and over again. It'll create a culture. Imagine if the culture became people walking through the doors thinking, who can I encourage today? Who can I pray with today? Who needs a friend today? How can I make this church stronger today? Because it's not just pastor's job. It's not just department heads' responsibilities. We need to have a mindset that says, this is my church. This is my church family. You might have serious things to work out with a brother or sister right now. You might have a rocky road that you've got to get through together right now. You might have to go to somebody. You might have to make things right. There might have to be meetings with pastor. It has to happen. But man, the first answer should never be, I got to look for something better. How about I grow this? How about I fix this? How about I take some ownership and I say, this is my church. And you know what? This person is getting on my nerves, but that's my brother. That's my sister. And I think we can get past this. I think we can be better. I think we can grow together. Church isn't just where I worship. It's where I invest. It's where I serve. It's where I love people. It's where I pour myself into others. Because the church that you'll love most tomorrow is the church that you're watering today. The Holy Ghost is not just calling us to deeper relationship with Him, but with each other too. And so I want us to close our eyes and lift our hands right now. I want us to think about this. Somebody might need to forgive something today. Somebody might just need to reconnect. Somebody might need to step out of the shadows and start serving. Say, what can I do in my church? You might just simply need to encourage someone they've never spoken to before. Imagine what God could do in this place, in this church, if every member became a cultivator instead of just a spectator. If every saint determined, I'm going to leave every service having strengthened my church. Come on, let's lift our voice right now. God, you've given us the tools. You've given us everything we need. Lord, help us to have the right mindset. Lord, shift our thinking the way it needs to be. Help us to view your church and your people the way, Lord, that we need to. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to endeavor to keep unity. Help us to endeavor, Lord, to restore one another. Lord, there's nothing you can't fix. There's nothing you can't repair. There's nothing that you can't do. There's nothing you can't grow. Lord, there's no dead grass that you can't bring to life. Lord, you can help us to grow it. You can help us to cultivate it. Lord, mold us and shape us and help us, God. Lord, as we're on the potter's wheel and you're forming us, Lord, help us, God, to help one another. Help us to grow one another. Lord, we want this church. We want revival. Lord, we want new converts. We want people coming in, Lord. But before we get any of that, Lord, help us, Lord, to be the body in here, Lord, that you've created us to be, that you've called us to be. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I think let's just take 1 minute here. We can take 1 minute. Why don't you grab somebody's hand next to you and lift it to heaven today and just pray for your brother and sister. Just pray blessings over them. Pray strength over them. Pray, just, God, help us to be closer. God, help me to be iron, sharpening iron. Help me, Lord, to be a stepping stone, not a stumbling block. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Unify me, Lord, with this body. Unify me, Lord, with my church. God, you put me here for a reason. You put us together for a reason. Lord, you fitly joined us together for a reason, for a purpose, God. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. God, put that love like never before in us. God, let love reign like never before. Let unity, Lord, reign like never before. In the name of Jesus, Lord, let there be conviction today in our hearts if we need it. Let there be forgiveness, Lord, if we need it. Let there be reconciliation. Let there be reconnection. Let there be restoration. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we're going to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. We're not going to forget each other. We're not going to leave each other behind. We're not going to just think it's just going to fall into place. Lord, we're going to work at it. We're going to endeavor. We're going to water the grass that you've planted our feet in. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Let's clap our hands to the Lord today and thank him for his word.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.